sights are in today. He goes back and slams through his eighth goal.
The kick around the corner. Pav tries to turn his man. Oh. The soccer off the ground from Pavlich. Look at the celebration from the Fremantle players and fans. Matthew Pavlich.
Yeah, there you go. He's an absolute star. Pav, congratulations on 350. What a journey it's been for you.
Yeah, thanks, Bix. Yeah, it has been. It's been, like most AFL journeys, quite tumultuous, sort of a roller coaster ride all along the way. Some downs, obviously, in the early period of my career and in some ways this year, but certainly more recently, some fantastic highs as well. So it's been an incredible journey from Kidman Park there in Adelaide, and feel rapt to have so many great people have helped me along the way.
Oh, well said, Pav. Congratulations. Great Sacred Heart boy as well. There's a lot of things we can describe you, but one that stood out today when I looked through the record again, your durability's been unbelievable. Only missed 31 matches in your 17-year career. I just think that is testimony to your professionalism, amongst other things, Pav.
Yeah, look, I think, in some ways there's a bit of luck involved, no doubt. I've still had a number of injuries over my career, which I've been able to play with. But no real major injuries that have cost a huge amount of time. I mean, I've still had, 9 operations. I've got some issues that I have to take care of post my career. But, yeah, it's certainly something that I've prided myself on. The advances in sports science, the professionalism of the game, lifestyle choices of all players now are at such an elite level that it certainly helps. But, the application, week in, week out to get yourself up and play when you were a bit sore. I remember Stephen Kernahan, when I was younger, growing up in Adelaide, talking about not playing at 100% fit. And when I was younger, I found it so hard to sort of conceptualise that. How can AFL players not quite play at 100% fit and yet go out there and do quite well? But it's something that an AFL player has to do, and really that's the price you pay every week.
Yeah. The other thing for me is your versatility. An All-Australian as a midfielder, a forward and a defender. It makes you a unique modern-day player, Pav. The old-fashioned term for that player was a utility, but I don't reckon that does you justice. Utility, Pav.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing most of my footy in Adelaide as a forward, but I played a fair bit of my junior time on the ball as well as a ruck rover, so I always had a bit of versatility in my game. I actually played in the under-19 Eagles team, grand final team. We won that premiership, and I played centre-half back, and it was probably about the first time where I started to play a bit of defence. So I actually found throughout most of my AFL career that having that versatility, particularly the second half of my career to go into the midfield and, not have a big key defender running around on you or vice versa when I was playing as a bigger body midfielder to go forward and sort of change it up was, it certainly helped my game and I think it was a benefit to the team as well.
Now, no doubt you're going to have a huge week this week, Pav. You're doing lots of interviews, I'm sure. Is it a enjoyable period when you have to go back? You talk about your early days. Obviously, you have some highlights, bits of vision that's shown to you during the week. Do you enjoy the whole build-up to these milestone games?
In some ways, no. I think most AFL players would like, milestone weeks to go by relatively quickly and you get to the game and you can just, concentrate on training and playing. And that's a lot of an AFL player a little bit. Yeah. You give up a part of yourself for the betterment of the team and it's not really too much of the individual focus. But, realistically, I've only got 5 weeks left of AFL football, given that this is my last year. So I will try to take a step away and smell the roses a little bit and I guess reflect on what has been, something that I've always wanted to do. I remember kicking the footy around, as I said before, Kidman Park, down at Sacred Heart, in the backyard, front yard with Dad, and that's all it was about, trying to be as good as I can be and really emulate what he did at West Torrens and my two uncles at West Torrens first before I got a gig in the AFL. So, reflect on that journey and all the great lessons that I've had along the way from it.
Have you officially announced your retirement, have you, Pav?
Yeah, it's obviously news doesn't get to Adelaide as well as it probably once did. We've said for a while now that this would be my last season. I think most people thought that you know, after the Hawthorn game last year, the prelim final where we went down, that I think there was a script probably written that I would announce my retirement after that. But I took a good month at the end of last season, to give it some real thought. And I felt as though my body and mind have a little bit more to go. And I feel really content now. It's, you know, only 5 weeks away that I've really wrung the sponge completely dry. There's nothing more left to give. And, I'm satisfied to move on to the next phase of my life, knowing that I've got nothing more left in the tank.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're playing it to the end. There's a lot of people thinking Frio not in the finals. Have the discussion been with you or Ross along the lines of, you know what, I've got my 350, another lad can play. Talk us through those discussions, if at all they happen.
Yeah, look, I mean, the plan all along was to play the season out, and given that we weren't contending, or we aren't contending, and the year's gone, you know, in a lot of ways, in the wrong direction for us. So I had a conversation after round five. We started the season 0-5, and we'd had significant injuries to, you know, Sandlin, Fife, Johnson, a couple of our key playmakers. Harley Bennell wasn't going to play. So I had a conversation then about exactly that. Is it time to step aside and let some of the young players play? And, you know, what are we thinking about the rest of this year? But after having that conversation and speaking to Lauren, my wife, it was, no, let's see the season out. Let's stick to the plan. Ross and Bondi were very supportive of that move. They wanted me to assist the development of all the young players. And I feel as though once you stick to a plan, it's worthwhile seeing it through. So
we'll see.
Happy that's been the case.
Would you have liked Ross Lyon to have arrived a few years earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a fantastic coach. He's really instilled some great traits and values in our playing group and our playing list. You know, if I sort of look back, there was probably two periods where I think we should have played, you know, a few more final series. That was, we played our first final series in 03, and we missed opportunities in 04 and 05 before getting to a prelim in 06. So sort of look at that time as a missed opportunity. And then once we'd, you know, gone to the draft and got the likes of Hill and, you know, Subin and De Boer and Fife and Walters and all the guys that are generally Clark are all running around now, we probably missed an opportunity around that 2011 period. We actually, before this year, we'd won the second most games to Hawthorn over the previous 4 or 5 seasons. So there was strong success there, but we probably just missed a couple of opportunities along the way, like most AFL teams do. Yeah.
Pav, what needs to change? Does Ross Lyon need to change anything?
Oh, well, I think we acknowledged at the end of last year we had to change a few things. And, you know, that was our ball movement. That was some of our stuff to do with our structures around centre square bounces and around the ground. And we tried to implement those throughout the pre-season. Brent Guerra and David Hale came across from the Hawks to assist in that process. And we changed a lot of it the way we went about our pre-season. We changed a bit to do with our game plan. And unfortunately, we didn't get traction with that early. We didn't have success. We were sort of suffering in a couple of areas. And then compounding that, we had those injuries that I talk of. So pretty quickly in this game, you can find yourself on the back foot, and we did. And I think going towards next year, there'll be some acknowledgement that we have to look at some change again. But, I strongly believe, and clearly it's a biased view, but I strongly believe that the group can rebound quickly.
Yeah, he had a couple of NAB rising stars, Lockie Weller and some others, along with the continued improvement of Tabiner. You're positive the way the club's going to head in the next couple of years?
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, the last half of this season, the mantra from the club's been, out of all the adversity and injuries we've had, I mean, it's just been shocking. It's the worst year of injuries I can remember at the club, for broken bones and orthopaedic surgery. It's hard to recall a season like it. But from that adversity comes some great opportunity. And you're right, there's been some, you know, Connor Blakely, Lockie Weller, Ed Langdon have played some football. Matthew Tabiner has played key position for all year. Sam Collins has come in and done a job down back. So Shane Yaron debuted on the weekend at the tender age of 27. So we're looking forward to that continued improvement, so that once the guys get to pre-season next year, they can hit the ground running.
Politics on the radar, Pav, the new AFLPA president. You're very statesman-like. What do you reckon? What do you got your eye on?
Was that politics that I
did?
I have no ambition to be in politics. No, look, I really enjoy being a part of the conversation, shaping the game. The PA role has been really interesting, and You know, I have aspirations at some level to be involved at the game at administration level, but okay. I think immediately post the career, you know, it's about I've got a little bit of study to finish off. So I'll finish that, and I've obviously been in the media a fair bit as well over here, so there may be some opportunities to do that with some business before looking for some higher goals.
What's your study, Pev? What are you studying?
I did a Bachelor of Science as an undergrad, and I've almost finished my MBA. So,
oh, good.
Master's of Business Administration, so just trying to. I've almost finished that, so that may trickle into next year, but a bit left to go.
Now, you've been in Perth for a long time. Is moving out to Adelaide on the radar at all?
Probably not in the short term. I love Adelaide, and my wife and everyone love getting back there. But having been here in Perth for so long, you know, 17 years, you build up such strong connections off the field as well. So I'd never say never. I love Adelaide. There's, you know, all my family's there. I've got some good mates back there. So certainly get back there a number of times each year. Mm. And hoping to get back there for the Adelaide Test match this year. The first time I've probably done an Adelaide Test match. So I'm trying to do that. in I think it was late November. So,
yep,
but yeah, I'd say I'd be mainly Perth-based to begin with.
One last one, Pav. We know you're doing a lot of interviews, and we thank you sincerely. One of the absolute greats. Look, we love loyalty. It needs to be rewarded in today's society. You're a one-club player, and I think that elevates you. There's no question about that, Bix. We with regard to the AFLPA and football and where it's heading, and you've obviously got your head in that space, Pav, Brad Hill wants to go back to Fremantle. Do we need to mature a bit as an industry? Do people like me need to mature as an industry, and that's going to be the norm? Player movement?
In terms of the discussions and whatnot that happen in the year? Or
the openness of it.
Yeah, I think it's a conversation we all need to have, don't we? I think there's a level of uncomfortability with it, which we all have. But the reality is, you know, it is a business these days, and players that do maybe want to go home have to have those conversations and at some point have to make an informed decision. So how do you make an informed decision without having those conversations? Now, yeah, do we have to mature? I'm not sure that's the exact terminology, but I think we all have to understand that, you know, if I was working at BHP and Rio Tinto wanted my services, would I be having the conversation, and would it actually annoy the people at BHP? Probably not. So, yeah, loyalty is critical to me. I've stayed at Fremantle. Obviously, it's been well documented that I had opportunities to come back to Adelaide and even to Melbourne, but I stayed loyal and stayed true to some of the values that I guess mum and dad instilled in me. But, there is a part of the greater conversation about player movement and free agency and all these things, which I think we need to have.
Look, I think Brad Hill, Alistair Clarkson, Hawthorn, and supposedly Freo have done it, I think, pretty well. I don't think there's been too many histrionics about it, and they're just getting on with it and hopefully achieving what they want to achieve this year. Pav, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for giving us 10 minutes of your time. Congratulations on what you've been able to do. 350 games this week. Celebrate it well, and yes, we just wish you all the best. You've been an absolute star.
Good on you guys. Always nice to have a chat to you guys. And, good luck for the rest of the season yourselves.
Matthew Pavlich there. In Freo's history, I said this at the opening of the show, the most significant figure on and off the field, his professionalism, his respect. He is pure class. He's an AFL great. I hear people say that he's undervalued because he didn't play in Victoria. Well, that's a load of crap. I mean, in WA and SA, he is a highly rated figure, and he certainly is in Melbourne as well. I mean, just read the record. Read the record.
And I think amongst the players, they're certainly not underrated. I think he, like you called him statesmanlike. I think that is. Some people that have been involved in the game that long, and as I mentioned, only 15 players get 350 plus. So he stands above most, and his role model, what he's been able to do, what he's given back, what he continues to give to the game, I think is very, very important.
Can I make a prediction on Pav with his MBA and the way he's lived his life off the field with his study and where he wants to head to? He'll either end up a commissioner, a chairman of the commission, or the CEO of the AFL. At the very least, you'll be a CEO of a club.
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple of people.
That's where it looks like he's heading.
Yes, I think there's some players that the AFL identify. I think
they do.
And you've got blokes like Tom Harley.
Tom Harley.
Who has moved in. He's the footy manager of Sydney, so he's doing that sort of football apprenticeship now.
Bloody
I'm sure he'll move on to big stuff. Luke Ball's another one who's sitting in now as the umpire's boss in the absence of Wayne Campbell.
Wayne Campbell's another one.
Who went from assistant coach to umpires. Now he's up at GWS. So there's a, I think, and quite rightly so, that they identify people who are clear thinkers, who are highly respected, have a great feel for the game, who want to be involved at that administration.
Clean living.
And they give them the opportunity.
Wow. Matthew Pavlich, what a star.